Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, yes, that is in the Bible. Old Testament, minor prophet. If you have an old Scofield reference Bible, it's on page 955. If you have something else, well, I have no idea what page it's on. But it's in your Bible, should be. Habakkuk chapter 1. I was sitting there thinking as we were singing that song, Brother Blanton, who runs the sound booth, he said he likes for me to wear this lapel mic because he sometimes turns it up a little bit while we're singing. Because normally, if you're watching on YouTube, the main thing you hear singing wise is either my brother, and you can't really hear the congregation very well. And so he says, I like to turn you on a little bit. But I just want to warn him that can be very dangerous. Because sometimes the words I sing are not the same words that everybody else is singing. So we will change those occasionally. But anyway, that's all right. Hey, I sure am glad you're here this morning and glad you came. And I hope today you'll listen on purpose. I'm going to do something that I seldom ever do. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the title of the message is Three Questions in Today's Turbulent Times. And, hey, I was like you. We were traveling. I was on vacation a little bit this last week. We were basically thrown out of the place. We weren't thrown out of the place we were staying, but they turned the electricity off, and that does encourage you to leave, all right? If you're in a place where it's hot and there's no electricity, so there's no air conditioning, it encourages you to leave. So we were driving on Tuesday, late Tuesday evening, and I flipped on the radio, and I was listening, and I heard they heard talking about, and I said, man, there's been a shooting. I heard the president, they put him on, heard what he said, and I thought, man, here we go again, you know. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to address that situation, but not just that situation. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we're here. We're here with the freedom we have because we've had a multitude, thousands and thousands of soldiers that have given their life. They've gone to war so that we can have the freedom we have. And really and truly, all of that, all the war that goes on, hey, there's tragedy, there's trouble, there's violence, there's viciousness, there's destruction all around the world. And all of those abound today. They abound today. And it has through history. It has through history. I can't help but say this. I know everybody's mind were on the shooting that was in Uvalde and the killing of those 19 innocent school children, two teachers. But I want to remind you the worst case of mass murder that's ever been enacted in history was government sanctioned. And we need to never forget that, all right? We need to never forget that. So we'll look at it. So Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. We've seen this thing go on, all right? We've seen it happen as the prophet of God says here. Hey, there's hundreds of thousands of that are refugees today as a result of the war in Ukraine that's taking place. As I said, this last week we had that shooting in the school in Uvalde. It's really just about impossible to hear these kind of things without questions coming to mind. And I mean, those questions do. We may not voice those questions, but we think them. And I want to address three that I believe are maybe the most frequently asked, but I want to do it from a scriptural perspective, all right? What we need is what the Word of God has to say. I don't want just a reaction from sadness and anger or bitterness. I want you to know, here's what the Bible says, all right? And we'll just look at those three questions, and if you'll listen, pay attention, we'll be done quickly. We'll be out of here. I've always said if you listen slow, I have to preach slow, all right? So just three questions, and obviously the first one is the one that's asked right here in verse 3. Why? Why? I mean, why in the world? This question's probably asked the most. Why would someone do what they do? Why would an individual go into a schoolroom and shoot down innocent children? I mean, why would anybody even think of doing such a thing? Why would they do it? Hey, on the other hand, why is it necessary to invade another country who hadn't done anything to your country? Why is that necessary? Why do we do it? Why fire rockets into apartment buildings? Why do those kind of things? Why did the government of Germany sanction the murder of over 6 million people during World War II? Hey, that was government-sponsored murder. Why would they do it? I'm going to tell you the short, simple answer, and you may say, preacher, it's just too simple. No, I'll tell you, the short, simple answer is sin. Amen. The truth of the matter is we have a monstrous sin problem in our land. Hey, not just in our land, but in this world. We have a monstrous sin problem. We talk about race relations. I heard a preacher, friend of mine, who said, hey, we don't have a skin problem, we got a sin problem. And that's where the problem is. It is a sin problem. Take your Bible, if you will, with me to another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 in your Bible. And just look at the scripture. I told you we want to deal with it from a scriptural standpoint, all right? Scripturally, we've got a sin problem. That's the why these things happen. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Hey, listen, folks, it is impossible to know the depths of sin to which man's heart can and does take him. Amen. How many times have you heard things and you said, why in the world would somebody do that? Why would that happen? Not just in a school classroom, but why would somebody just drive down the street and just randomly shoot people? Hey, but why would somebody get so angry in a traffic situation that they would pull out a gun and shoot the person in the other car? Why would we have that kind of thing? I saw on the news broadcast this last week, a woman, there was a situation, she had no choice. She cut off another driver and pulled into a station. I saw the camera from that station standpoint show the man get out of the car, come around the car, and this woman is standing there apologizing for what she had done, trying to explain why she did it, and the camera showed that man, who's twice her size, take his fist and just swack her upside the head. Why in the world? We got a sin problem. We got a sin problem. It's in the heart of man. It's in the heart of man. We get started in the wrong direction. Now, we like to suppose and like to say, I'd never do anything close to that. But I'm going to tell you something. That same sinful heart that resides in other men resides in us. Resides in us. I've had personal friends do things that I thought they'd never do. But they did. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Now, I'm not trying to gloss that over, and I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but I'm trying to explain to you why a lot of the wickedness, the viciousness, the meanness goes on in this world. Why? Because of sin. Hey, there is sinful hearts. Go back a little further towards the front of your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, if you would. Hey, sin takes us places we never thought we'd go, all right? Sin, somebody famously said years ago, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, all right? Hallelujah. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And all of that's true. We have a sin problem. We have a sin problem in this world. But notice, here's the problem gets worse. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, the Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why? Because nothing is done, all right? When evil conduct is not restrained, that conduct will continue to go further into more evil. If it's not stopped, if nothing is done, all right? Hey, we have a problem. We have a problem in our world because we've quit holding people accountable for what they've done. We've quit holding them accountable. We've made excuses. Many make excuse for wrongdoing. Hey, they make excuse for their own family members. Their own family members. Hey, well, it's wrong if you do it, but wait a minute, if one of my children do it, well, let me explain why. No, we justify that. We don't hold people accountable for what they've done. Hey, listen, I'm not going to go too far afield on this thing, but we have riots, and those riots continue because we don't hold the people accountable for what they do in the riot. Man, if you can go in and you can kick the door down or you can smash the window and you can go in, you can grab whatever you want to grab, there's something wrong. There's a problem when the district attorney in Dallas says if the robbery is not above a certain figure of amount of money, we're not going to prosecute. Man alive, where'd we get that idea? It's okay if we don't hold people accountable for what they do. Listen, you and I need to be realized we're accountable. He said, nothing happened. I'll tell you, you'll stand before God one day, and you will give an account for what you've done in this body. You're not going to escape it. But when we just allow people there's no accountability, then this thing just keeps going further and further, and it doesn't get better, it gets worse. Hey, by the way, that's true of individuals. That is true of nations. If there's no accountability, if nobody says, hey, there's got to be a stop. Now, I'm not advocating that we go to war with Russia, but I'm going to say this. I'm not a prophet, but if Russian is able to take Ukraine and everything just smooths out and nobody and we begin to drop sanctions and all that kind of stuff, I guarantee you that's not the last place they'll take. It will proceed. I will remind you of history. The leader of England stood up, and because he made an agreement with Hitler, hey, we're going to allow them to take what they've taken, and we've ensured peace in our time. That's what Neville Chamberlain said. Man, they didn't have peace. War broke out and involved the whole world. Why? Sin. Sin. We think, hey, we can get away with it. We think we can get away with it. Sin begins small, but when we begin to do those things that God has forbidden and we get away with it, it simply encourages us to continue to do that. The truth of the matter is, as a kid, it was a good thing for me that I was caught. It was a good thing for me somebody saw me. It was a good thing for me that I had a mom and a dad that said, uh-uh, you can't get away with that. There's going to be a price to pay. That was a good thing. That was a good thing. Because of that, I've managed to never be in jail except visiting. Hey, and it's a good thing. Why? I was held accountable. That's a good thing. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I don't like speed limit laws. I really don't. Now, I know all of y'all do. Every one of y'all constantly obey the speed limit, right? Conscientiously, never get over it. I don't like speed limit laws, but it's a good thing we have them. It's a good thing we have them. It is good. We need to be restrained. Yeah, all of us know, all of us been in traffic. We've seen the person, we say, man, that guy's crazy, weaving in and out, you know, just flooring it and going around everybody. Yep, I know it. I know it. That's the thought says, why can't the policeman see him now? Every time I get 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, I get pulled over and he ain't looking down. Hey, I know there's always that exception. But you hear me, it's a good thing we have those laws. It's a good thing we have some policemen out there to enforce those laws. Yes, I've had to pay some tickets. No, I never liked paying one. But it's my fault. It's my fault. Good. Hey, we need to be held accountable. If not, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I guarantee you somewhere in life of that fellow who went into that schoolroom this last week, somewhere, somehow, there's some things that were done that he got away with. Somewhere. There was no action. Hey, listen, evil, sin. We got a sin problem. So why do we have this, preacher? Because of sin. Because of sin. Go back there to Habakkuk chapter 1, would you? Here's the second question I want you to see. I'm trying to find Habakkuk again, all right? There it is. I want you to notice, if you will, verse 2. Here's the second question. Oh, Lord, how long? How long? Hey, preacher, when's it going to end? When's it going to end? That we hear the question, why? And we hear the question, when will it end? Now, I'll be honest, I believe the answer to that question is both discouraging and encouraging at the same time. Habakkuk asked it, he said, how long? How long shall I cry? According to the word of God, you said, preacher, when's this thing going to end? According to the word of God, it's not going to end until Jesus Christ comes back. You said, why can you say that? Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11, all right? I told you I want to deal with this scripturally, okay? Not just my opinion, but, Lord, what the Bible says. I want you to notice Isaiah chapter 11. You see, there's trouble in this world. Now, Timothy tells us perilous times shall come. You say, preacher, they're here. They are. You say, when is it going to end? When's that going to end? It's not going to end until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. It's not going to end until then. Notice Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Hey, the Bible's talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And, hey, by the way, I'll be honest with you, we could preach every point in a series of sermons, all right? We're just encapsulating it this morning real quick. Condensed version, all right? Hey, the Lord's coming back, and when he does, he'll establish his reign on this earth. And there's going to be peace here, and it will be righteousness that's going to reign, all right? And it's going to be in righteousness that he shall judge. He's going to be in control, all right? He'll be of quick understanding. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And because of that, for the first time, and for the next time that it'll come here, we're going to have peace. we're going to have the end of those kind of things. You said, well, what makes you think so? Look, if you will, in verse 11, same chapter. Or excuse me, not verse 11, right? Really, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. They say, preacher, when's it going to end? When the Lord comes back? When he returns to this earth and he establishes his reign, the Bible said they'll not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. There'll be no hurting, no destruction, period, across the world. That'll end. That's going to end. It'll take place. You said, how's he going to handle that? I don't know. But he's God. He can do it. All right? I don't have the ways and the means it's going to take place, but I'm telling you, the Bible says it's going to be that way. It will be that way. Now, I'll be honest. I believe the situation could be helped in our day if we'd return to being governed by biblical principles. If we would decide, hey, we're going to do what God says. We're going to do it his way. But instead, what we see happening is we move further from a morality that's grounded in the Word of God. We continue to move away from what God says, and instead we substitute the ravings and the opinions of men. And could I just point out to you, it's not working out real well. Just not working out real well. The further we get from biblical principle, the worse things get. Say, preacher, when's it going to end? When the Lord comes back. When the Lord comes back. Third question. Talked about why. When it's going to end. Well, preacher, how can we endure it? How can we stand it? I've heard people say this last week, I don't think I can take any more. So how can we stand it? How are we going to do it? How can we continue to absorb the senselessness, the viciousness, the violence that we see again and again and again? I want to refer you to that first song we sang this morning. I called my brother yesterday on the phone. I said, hey, I want to sing this song. I want to sing it first. I'll remind you, the word says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's it. Remember the second song we sang? Standing on the promises. Preacher, how can we endure it? We can't. Unless we're grounded somewhere. Unless there's a firm foundation, we can endure it. I want you to open that songbook. I want you to look at the third verse. Would you? Because this is the verse that's not sang usually. We have a tendency to skip the third verse more than any other verse. I intentionally had my brother sing all the verses. I want you to notice the third verse. His oath, his covenant, his blood. Notice, support me in the whelming flood. Hey, that's what we had. That's what happened in Uvalde this last week. It was an overwhelming flood. I look and I feel for those folks. Notice when it says that, rest of that verse, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. That's it. Hey, it's on him we stand. David said it this way. He said, he lifted me out of a miry pit and he set my feet on a rock. I tell you, without the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think we can endure it without him. But his word tells us something. Look, if you will, in Psalm 56, the 56th Psalm. Won't you see what the Bible says? He said, how in the world, you know, can we endure it? How can we stand it? Look at verse 3. The 56th Psalm, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. Say, preacher, are you afraid? I get afraid every now and then. I get afraid for our country. I get afraid for our world. I get afraid for some of our people. Yeah, but what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to trust in Him. Listen, when I can see, I'm going to trust Him. And when I cannot see, I'm going to trust Him even more. Said, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. Me either. I don't know how I can stand it. I can't unless He helps. Unless He helps. Unless I allow Him to do it. Unless I learn to trust Him, I can't get through it. I had the privilege in the last couple of weeks to sit down with some dear friends of ours, and they talked about the death of their daughter. She was 24 years old. She died in violence. They're convinced, there wasn't enough evidence, but they're convinced she was killed. She was killed. But it had accidental lookings to it. And I sat and listened to them talk. And we're talking about something that happened years ago. And as the mother talked, spoke with that broken voice, her husband sat across the way and the tears just ran down his face as she was talking. And I'm sitting there thinking, hell, I know how they endured it. And you said, does the pain go away? No, they still deal with it. But here's what she said. She said, I couldn't have done it had the Lord not been with me. Had the Lord not been with me. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You said, how do we endure it? We'll not endure it without the help of God. We'll not endure it without the help of God. Listen, we need to learn to trust Him. We don't have the answer. Hey, I don't have the answer to every question. I don't even pretend to have the answer to every question. But I'm telling you, boy, why does it happen? It happens because we've got a sin problem. We got a sin problem. Now, we look at it and we think a person could not do that in their right mind. They've lost their mind. Yeah, they are. And some people say, well, that person's sick. You know? But a lot of that comes because of sin. Comes because of sin. Doesn't excuse it, but that is what is sin. So it behooves us to do something. Can I just say this? It becomes us that we not become part of the problem. But we be part of that solution. You say, what will he do? Take your Bible to James chapter 4 in the New Testament. Look, I think this is how we endure it. How do we do it? How do we get through it? Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be a tragedy like that. It may just be in your personal life. It may just be in your personal life. It's just you, in your family, in your home maybe. You said, how am I going to get through it? James chapter 4, would you look in verse 5? Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Notice, He giveth more grace. So what do? Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. You say, preacher, how in the world are we going to endure this thing? You need to build your relationship with God. You need to build your relationship with God. There's things that happen in this whole world. How do you survive? You don't if you don't have that relationship with God. Now, you may live physically, there's still life. Well, there's a lot of people today that are alive, but they're merely existing. There's just an existence. They don't have that relationship. They quit living when that tragedy struck. You don't have to do that. Make sure you don't contribute to the problem. Hey, the cure for this problem that we're dealing with is not going to be man-made. I've heard over the radio and the television the last few days, as often happens when these situations take place, everybody seems like people are blaming everybody and everything. Some blame the weapon. Some blame the weapon maker. Some blame the school officials. Some blame the lawmakers. I'll be honest with you. We can point fingers all day long if you want to, and it won't make one bit of difference in this world. But there's something that you can do. Spiritual problems need spiritual answers. We've got a spiritual problem. You say, well, how can I fix that other person's problem? You probably can't, but you can make sure yours is fixed. You can make sure yours is fixed. Hey, listen, we need to stand for what's biblically right. That's where we need to stand. We need to stand on the biblical principles of the Word of God. That's what we need to base it on. Listen, you can like it, lump it, you can deny it, but our country was established on biblical principles. Biblical principles. Now, you say, well, it sure isn't perfect. No, because it's run by imperfect humans. And we'll never have perfection as long as there's imperfect humans in control. Never will. But it'll be better than it could be. We remember those biblical principles. But my friend, we can stand for them, but you need to live up to them. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean you ought to put it in practice in your life. Put it in practice in your life. You say, I'm going to live what I claim I believe. I'm going to live it. I'm not going to be the person that gets so infuriated in traffic that I pull out a weapon or shoot at somebody or go over and punch them out. Man, in God's dear name, how is that going to help? Not going to solve anything. It infuriated me watching the picture of that man hit that woman. I've got no use for a man that beats on a woman, okay? I just don't. Don't have, I mean, you raise your hand, you got to be kidding, something's wrong with you. I think you ought to be taken out and beaten if you do that, all right? I really do believe that. Hey, but it's up to us to live up to God's standard. We say, well, I'm going to stand on biblical principle. Good. Are you going to live it in your life? You're going to put those standards out there? I'm going to live what I believe. Boy, can I say this? Raise your children. Raise your children. Don't just let them grow up. Raise them. The Bible admonishes fathers to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Raise your kids. Spend some time with them. Teach them some things. Don't just send them off to the schoolroom and say, you do it. Don't just send them to the Sunday school teacher and say, you do it. No, you raise them. You raise them. You enforce it. My dad, he always told us kids, he told my brother and I, said, boy, you get a whipping at school, you'll get one when you get home. And I've said this many times, I never worried about what was going to happen at school. But I worried about what would happen at home. I only got one lick in school. One. I was in the 10th grade when it happened. He said, what happened, preacher? None of your business. Got one lick given by a biology teacher. I told my dad about it after I'd graduated from college. I wasn't going to tell him before that. I just wasn't going to do it, you know. Why? Because I knew what he raised me. He raised us. Hey, you know what? He taught us to respect other people. You need to teach your children to do that. Don't teach them, well, just go ahead, you can do whatever. Don't do that. Hey, we've had kids come down at our Christian school building down here and throw rocks, break windows, and had parents of the one who did it come down there and say, well, it's just an old derelict building. Oh, so it's okay. Look, there's some parents that need a whipping, okay? Because they don't raise their kids. It's my understanding, I may very well be wrong, my understanding, the fellow that did the shooting in Uvalde had a non-existent father. He wasn't in the picture. I've heard that his mother's a dope addict. I heard that his grandpa was served time. All right? I'm going to tell you, friends, somebody didn't raise the boy, all right? We live in a day where people aren't raising their kids. They don't expect anything out of them. They don't teach them anything. Hey, listen, man, I've been in houses. I have told parents, listen, if you need to go over there and spank that kid, go ahead, have at it. Won't bother me a bit. Well, that age? Well, yeah, you need to start now so it's not such a big job, okay? Listen, I still believe what the Bible says. I got spankings as a kid. I never got a beating. I'm against that. You ought to never beat anybody. That's wrong. No, I'm against that. But man, a spanking that's properly administered is a good thing. It's a biblical thing, and it'll help. Not done in anger just because you got mad. No, because they violated what you said. Raise your children. Teach them. Train them. And give them a godly example to follow. Give them a godly example to follow. You say, what's wrong in our world? There's not many godly examples for people to follow. We even go and tell our kids, do what I say, not what I do. You got to be kidding. I remember in health class in the 9th grade, we had a coach that taught the class. Every guy in that class knew he smoked. And he got up and taught us not to smoke. Right, buddy. You made an impact on us, okay? Hey, listen, people need a godly example. You hear me? Mom and dad, they need a godly example from you. Amen. From you. Don't just take them to church and say, be like the preacher. No, you be that example at home. They need a godly example. Hey, grandparents, your grandkids need you. Your grandkids need you. They don't need you to let them do anything they want to. Well, I'll spoil them and send them home. I'm not going to say what I think, okay? That's as wrong as it can be. I've got 5 grandchildren. I know 3 of them I've swatted their rear end myself. And the other 2, I haven't been around enough to do it yet, okay? But it's not because I won't. Look, I don't want spoiled grandkids. I want that. I want to train. Hey, if their parents won't do the job, then maybe you got to take up slack. But if nothing else, you can dead sure be the godly example they need. You can be that godly example. Well, let me say this. Demand accountability. Hey, it starts with you. You being accountable. You being accountable for what you do. You need to demand accountability from your children. We need to demand accountability from our government. We need to demand that. They have no right to just do whatever. You need to be accountable. You need to be accountable. You need to be able to give an answer. Now, the Bible says that we as Christians ought to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies in us. Right. One of these days we will stand before God and give an account to Him about what we've done in this body. I tell you, if we had a realization right now we're going to be accountable, it'd help us straighten up what we think about doing. There was things I thought about doing when I was a kid. Then I thought about Dad. I thought, I don't think I will. It's not going to be near enough fun to outweigh it. Hey, listen, you might not be able to change the world, but you can change one little bitty piece of it. And if we can get enough pieces fixed, it'll make an impact. It'll make an impact. I guarantee it will. It's up to us to do what we can do. That's up to us, do what we can. Hey, it's a sin problem. Just plain old question, is there sin in your life that you've not dealt with? You said, preacher, my sin, yeah, I know we all think it's a little thing, it's not going to amount. Wait a minute, it'll lead to something else. It always does. Always does. Always does. That sin needs to be dealt with. Are there changes need to be made in your life? Would you make them? Won't you decide to do it? Hey, I'm going to do what I can. I will do what I can do. I can't do everything. You can't do everything, but you can do what you can do. You can do what that part, and that part you're responsible to take care of. But when are you going to take care of it? When are you going to take care of it? Hey, that old heart of yours, that old sinful heart needs to be restrained. It needs the restraint of the Holy Spirit on it. You need, first of all, to be born again. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Then you remember that verse we read there in James? Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourself to Him. Hey, it starts with us. We always talk about fixing that one over there, but let's fix us first. I can fix me. You can. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I come to you with a heavy heart. The tragedy in this world, the death, the destruction that's there, Lord, it's heartbreaking.